Hello there, friend. This is Isaac. Do you want to talk about aliens? Because I do. It is the question without an answer. But I've got an answer for you. I don't know if it's correct. That's the problem. But the way I see things, if I had to choose an answer for the alien question, I gotta go this way. I gotta take the certain approach that, of course, I'm not gonna give you the answer right now. You're gonna sit tight. You're gonna listen. You're gonna like it. It's gonna be great. We're gonna have a great time because we're gonna go through some symbolism in entertainment that supports the alien discussion. And by the end of the show, I want you to come to your own conclusion, and I will, of course, offer up my ideas. And this is by no means definitive, because my beliefs on the alien dilemma, they change. Not drastically, but the nuances behind it. Because, like I said, it's the question we can't really answer. Now, I assure you, this will be a very controversial show. Some of you will not like it. I've been reading the reviews on iTunes. Shout out to everyone leaving reviews on the iTunes. A couple people are not happy. And I can tell by their handle, it's because they are in the Illuminati. No, just kidding. They're on the Illuminati team, though. That's right. And look, I know most of you haven't followed me since the beginning of all this. So I'm going to give you a brief encapsulation of my beliefs. From my very first book that I wrote, I said that I was born and raised a Christian in America. And I was curious to separate the religious elements from the realm of conspiracy. Because I acknowledge that it's very possible that I could be wrong. How do you prove religion, right? I mean, I could have easily been born in another country where they practice another religion. I could have been born a Jew in Israel, a Muslim in the Middle East somewhere. I could have been many things, but this is where I'm at. And while there are some issues to consider with the Christian faith, on the whole, I believe it. Now, how do you prove such a thing? Well, you can't really prove it all the time. And when people say to prove something in today's society, they say prove it through science. Because science is today's religion, believe it or not. And the journey I've been on is to try to separate the religion from the conspiracy, but that is impossible. Because in fact, when it boils down to it, the conspiracy is one of religious nature. They, being the Illuminati, are trying to instill an ancient religion that is occult in nature, meaning hidden to the masses. That is one thing I can ascertain from all of the studies I've been doing over the years. Something is going on, and this something points us towards the dark path, not to use my book as a... Oh, speaking of which, big ups out there to Roger, who left a review on Amazon for The Dark Path. Much appreciated. Like I said, I read all of them. So if you got a review on The Dark Path, leave it on Amazon, because that's where I look at them. So they want us to go down this path of occultism, which leads us to the alien discussion. Because they want us to believe in the aliens, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that is. And in fact, I talked about the aliens recently. In November, I had a special podcast episode for Patreon supporters only. And I talked about the alien rocks, the Obama alien rock. Not a popular decision. I saw some people that were not happy with that. And I get it. I get it. I apologize. I know that this information needs to go out to everybody, but you have to understand, on my side of the house, Google just sent me a whole slew of violations. They are trying to shut it down. And believe you me, mark my words, they will shut me down. Not to sound too grandioso, but that is the trajectory we're looking at, is those people who have a message with a little bit of a factual basis behind it on the real meaning of what's happening, they try to shut them down. Example, I was on the YouTube the other day, and there's a guy, and I should have wrote his name down. I should have wrote his dumb name down. Shane Dawson, I believe, was it. One of the top, 20 YouTube people. I don't follow YouTube. That missed me by a generation. I don't get it. The younger crowd, they don't get into television. They stay on YouTube, which is very odd to me. But for those of you that are like me, a little bit ignorant to the YouTube thing, they get on YouTube and they follow personalities, and then they don't watch TV. They'll watch someone sit in front of their webcam and offer up whatever it is they're doing, makeup tutorials or advice on life or whatever have you, and that is what they do for entertainment. It's very strange, but that's what they do. I mean, you've got Hollywood with all of its problems, of course, but Hollywood that has these multi-million dollar budgets, professional actors, special effects, explosions, story writers, but it doesn't matter. They watch that 7-year-old kid that made $22 million opening presents on YouTube last year. Sounds insane, right? We are definitely in bizarro world. Shout out to my man SMQ. I think we did die in 2012. It's a weird world, but there's a guy named Shane Dawson, and he's got a whole thing. He has a whole conspiracy channel, and he's talking about essentially the same topics I am. Yet I got banned from YouTube and he did not. So it begs the question of why. Why are some people allowed to continue their message and talk about conspiracy and others not? Well, it's because he doesn't dig beneath the surface. He is on par with the Coast to Coast radio show. It's spooky ghost stories, and it's left on the surface. They don't want you to see the real terrifying underbelly of what's actually happening. And that terrifying underbelly is the occult, their belief system, and the demonic aliens they're trying to channel in. So why not talk about that, right? And to talk about that, we have to take a look at American Horror Story Apocalypse. I did an episode a while back, around episode 3 or 4 of the show, and I talked about how in this latest season called American Horror Story Apocalypse, there were obvious and overt symbols and messages of the Illuminati nature, of the occult, right? And I said I was going to revisit it. And while one may think I would want to do a full analysis that is very in-depth because there's so much going on, that is not the case. Because there is so much going on, it is the point of the story. So to do an analysis is to basically retell the story of what happened during the season. And it's very strange, my relationship with American Horror Story, because I watched the first few seasons. The first one was the best, clearly. Murder House, I believe it was called. And after that, it just kind of got boring to me. I'm not sure why. It should be right in my wheelhouse of interest. But for some reason, I don't know if the episodes last too long. They should make them 20 minutes or something. My ADD kicks in. And this season, while it was pretty good, it's kind of the same thing. To me, I kind of ran out of steam. But I trudged through it. It wasn't that bad. I mean, being a little extreme here. It should be of interest to me. And it is, but I don't know. I'd rather watch me some Impractical Jokers. You know what I'm saying? I think it's because when you explore this territory of the occult, it gets so dark sometimes you need a little break. So anyways, if you want, I'm not going to... Yeah, this might spoil the plot. If you haven't seen it, I apologize. But we find out that the tech millionaire people, there's two characters, the tech millionaires, right before the end times, Mutt and Jeff, which I believe is like a reference to some old cartoon from like the 1910s. But these two guys, they're pursuing the death and destruction of the entire human population. Furthermore, we find out they are part of the cooperative, which we find out is another term for the Illuminati.
Putin, Buffett, Clinton.
Oh, Bill, not Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Kim Pyong-so.
General Kim. Duke controls all the nuclear weapons in North Korea.
I don't get it. How are all these people connected?
That's a list of 100 members of the world's most powerful organization called the Cooperative.
Yeah, except no one in the Cooperative would ever admit to being in the Cooperative. Also, the Cooperative is a code name. The real name is the Illuminati.
And actually, this list doesn't exist. Bye, list!
You guys are in the Illuminati.
Well, I mean, were that group to exist, yeah, you might find some familiar names on the roster at number 69.
Yeah. Yeah. The point is, the Cooperative controls the money, the arts, the armies, the thoughts, everything. They run the world.
And everyone in the Cooperative has sold their soul to the devil. Which means that you control the Cooperative. Daddy set you up, bro.
They've been waiting for the Antichrist. You just tell them what you want and when you want it, and they have to do it. They're basically like your army, dude.
Well, what am I supposed to do with them? If magic wasn't enough to bring about the end times...
Oh, no. You don't need magic to destroy the world, bro. Not when you have science.
And humanity. People suck. They're selfish and short-sighted. All anyone cares about is immediate gratification. And that's how everything happens. One shitty self-serving act at a time. You multiply one bad impulse by 7 billion people, you get global warming. You get mass extinction.
Yes.
You definitely get genocide.
Yes.
I mean, it's sheer numbers, bro. Math is way more powerful than magic. We are totally ready to give the middle finger to the world and restart mankind.
It's the prophecy, bro. You will reign for 1,000 years of fire. It's in the book.
It's in the good book. You read this book? Revelations.
So what do we have going on here? We have these two guys, part of the Illuminati, worshiping Satan, selling their soul to Satan. And the Antichrist, the offspring, the son of Satan, comes to Earth, and they want to persuade him to destroy the entire population on the planet. This is, of course, nihilism, which we see in my book, The Dark Path, a philosophy that they need to destroy God's creation in order to make a better form, a better entity. They want to not necessarily evolve us into something new, but re-evolve us into a new species altogether. They think that the masses are dumb and deserve what they get, which is a bit of Church of Satan kind of philosophy, because it's might is right in that sort of world. They don't look to turn the other cheek. They would rather punch you in the face. So now, this idea of nihilism, does it come from embracing the original tale of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where they find supposed freedom, air quotes, through death when they ate the apple? So you have to understand, the apple was offered up by the serpent, Satan, the evil forces, in all these sort of religions, even the occult religions. Gnosticism and so on, there's this evil force, right? And the evil force, they give Adam and Eve the apple, and they are freed from the Garden of Eden. Now, in the Christian faith, we are told that the Garden of Eden was a place of paradise, but not in the occult bizarro world. They believe that the Adam and Eve were stuck worshiping God in this garden, and they could not pursue their own will. They were not able to do what thou wilt. So the serpent, you see, is a liberator and freer of mankind. But when the serpent gave Adam and Eve the apple, that also introduced the concept of death. Entropy, in terms of science, the second law of thermodynamics. Everything falls apart. They were forced to suffer and eventually die after they were supposedly freed from the Garden of Eden. So there was freedom through death. That is the message here. And that is nihilism 101. It is this idea of embracing the dark side and embracing death, which sounds very strange, but that is precisely what you see from a lot of people in the entertainment industry. Liberation through death. Aleister Crowley called it the ultimate orgasm. So the serpent, Satan, is the only path to true freedom. And think about how the analogy sort of works in present day. A lot of people say they do not want to go to church because they don't want to be told what to do and what to think. And while I get that sentiment, it's not necessarily a direction in telling us what to do. It's more of an idea of a guidance of how to be in the world. So to these occultists, they want to pursue the path to true freedom, embracing the material world, which is very odd because it kind of clashes with the occult belief of the Saturnian forces or the demiurge that established this world. Because in the Gnostic belief system, they think we are trapped in a prison planet. The material world is a prison established by evil forces, which could relate to the idea of Saturn as the serpent that introduced weights and measures and concrete materialism. I know this is probably going too deep for a lot of folks out there, but just know that as odd as it sounds, these people are into embracing death, destruction, and starting over. They want to start over in, you know, this new belief system that eliminates God as the creator of mankind. I'm not saying you should believe it. I'm just telling you the way I see it. I mean, it is Christmas after all, right? It's time to buy gifts and embrace materialism. Anyways, so American Horror Story Apocalypse, it ends with, I'm not going to tell you how it ends exactly, just in case, but we do find out there is an Illuminati agenda. It's tied into nihilism and worshiping Satan as the liberator of mankind, which is a great segue to Bob Lazar. That's right, Bob Lazar, you remember him. This is a guy who claims to have worked on a propulsion system that was from UFO technology down near Area 51 in Nevada. And he had this whole thing where how it was using an unknown element at the time, Element 115. Which he talked about this stuff back in 89. He first came out trying to be a sort of whistleblower. And, the story takes a lot of twists and turns, but that's essentially who Bob Lazar is. And if you don't know who he is, I want to highly recommend to you a new documentary that just came out. It's called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. I picked it up on Amazon. You can pick it up there or iTunes. I will publish a link on IlluminatiWatcher.com if you don't like typing things. And you can get it through there. It's already got... I picked it up the day it came out. And I gotta say, it was really good. Big ups to homeboy that directed it. Jeremy Kenyon Lockyer Corbell is his name. It's a lot of names in one name. A lot of names. But the show is really good. If you've seen, which I'm sure you have, if you've seen any kind of alien UFO documentaries, especially older ones that would have something about Bob Lazar, you know how corny and how awful they are put together. I mean, I love it. Like, it's endearing to me, but they're typically piss poor. Not this one, though. This one is done It's outstanding. In fact, it even has some narration by Mickey Rourke. That's right. Sounds like he might have took a couple too many shots to the head, but you'll get it when you watch it. He's kind of slurring throughout the whole documentary. You know, our ideas are the most dangerous weapons on the planet. They collect under the collective unconsciousness. That's what he sounds like. So, shout out Mickey Rourke, though, you know. I don't know how he got hooked up on this, but he's on it. He's narrating parts of it. And you got to stick with it. The first 10 minutes, the sound quality is a little goofy because, like, they interviewed George Knapp. He's in a pool house. There's, like, mad echo. But trust me, it's awesome. It's really good. Really well put together. And, you know, it's worth watching, especially, you know, if you know anything about Bob Lazar or if you don't. You know, because Bob Lazar, they kind of give you a brief overview of who he is, why we're talking about him. And they go into detail about his time down at S4, which is a location near Area 51. And apparently Bob Lazar worked with George Knapp to sort of release the story internationally, and it gained attention as to what Area 51 was and where it was. This is back in 89 that this started. It's very curious in the documentary. They ask Bob what it felt like to work on a UFO. And he said, it's a science dream. And that's very apropos here because the science world, their religion is science. And according to their religion, there are other forms of life out there. The human being is not that special. There's nothing special about us. We evolved from, protoplasm, just like it could happen anywhere else. And of course, there's infinite planets and infinite forms of life out there. We just have never seen it ever. And, that's what leads us to this question again, right? The fundamental question, are aliens real? More importantly, are biological aliens real? Because I believe that the concept of aliens is very real, because I believe in life in another dimension. Interdimensional beings are souls. After we die in the physical, they move on to another realm. You look at the gigantic electromagnetic frequency range, and visible light is the tiniest sliver on there. Most definitely, there is something going on in the other realms of frequency. Not to mention, there could be other dimensions we're unaware of. I mean, science itself is based upon observations with the five senses, right? It's all based on the Big Bang, which they don't really know how that happened. And even if they did, who did the Big Bang? I mean, to me, it's a bit of a paradox to not pretend there's no God. But Bob Lazar asserts that he, in fact, saw non-human technology down at Area 51. S4, technically. I'll say Area 51, but he said he saw 9 UFOs, and he was sent there to work on the propulsion system. Now, George Knapp, he was an investigative reporter. He researched Bob Lazar. And even in the documentary, he talks about how strange it was that they chose him and almost immediately showed him all of this alien technology and, drawings of the alien bodies and diagrams, which to me sounds more like a potential disinformation plot, which we know that Bill Cooper believes he might have been a witness to, because Bill Cooper... Again, we're talking about like the golden age of ufology. He believed that it's quite possible that the government, the military, they showed him these UFO technology papers and stuff in order for him to sort of leak it to the public. And you could take this a couple of directions. One is it could be a way to scare the other countries that we have this alien technology. Another one could be that they want to further their agenda of exploration into other worlds, but the masses are unable to hear that the aliens exist. It'd be too much of a disruptor. So they kind of pique the interest of the masses by doing this sort of thing. And to me, that seems the most reasonable kind of idea behind this, because down at Area 51, apparently that's where they develop a lot of these sort of top secret aircraft. Now, some would claim that these aircraft incorporate alien UFO technology, but based upon what Bob Lazar said, I don't think that's possible, because he said it used this propulsion system that essentially moved gravity out of the way. It was like putting a bowling ball on your bed and pushing down on the corner of the bed so that the bowling ball would go towards it. And it was almost like pulling the space-time continuum towards the craft. It sounds very odd, I know. But the show, the documentary, it gave you a good amount of evidence to prove that Bob Lazar did in fact experience and witness something odd while he was down by Area 51. After watching the show, I do believe Bob Lazar is telling the truth. I just don't know if the truth was presented to him, right? Because, as we know, back in 1947, maybe, the Brookings Institute did a study, and the human masses, the results of the study were the human masses weren't ready to hear about the existence of alien life forms. So in the meantime, they've been showing us images of aliens and UFOs and videos and leaking little bits here and there and sort of predictively programming it into the subconscious of the masses. NASA says we're going to find the aliens. They've been doing this SETI research, trying their damnedest to find signs of intelligent life out there. It hasn't happened, right? And based upon my research, and of course this is just my opinion, and trust me, I used to be a, before I did all this research, I used to be a pro-alien kind of guy. I said, of course there's aliens, and I can't wait to meet them. I can't wait till we find them. So, like, it's super intriguing, but the whole concept here is that they want us to believe that humans are very insignificant and that, of course, there's something more evolved out there. And if you read like Arthur C. Clarke's novels, he talks about this future world where we look back and say, wow, we were really ignorant and foolish back then, referring to present day. But if you look at, in my books, I always talk about, I pick on the Ancient Aliens, guys. It used to be my favorite show, Ancient Aliens. But I can't really watch it anymore now that I've done all this research and the theorists on there don't really have a solid background in the archaeology like they claim they do. Almost everything they say you can debunk and disprove. That's not to say they don't raise some good questions, or at least it's a fun practice in entertainment and critical thinking, re-examining certain things, learning from other cultures. So like it's still a fun show. And they are careful with the language on that show, if you pay attention. They do, in fact, leave it a bit vague, because they don't know, right? And why would they? How would they know? But to me, I think all of this fantasy of making contact with aliens has a deeper meaning to the Illuminati, the occultists. And I'm gonna bring it back around to that in just 1 minute, but let me finish giving you a couple final thoughts about the documentary. The interesting part of this story is that Bob Lazar, he claimed to have attended MIT and Caltech. yet there are no records of him going to these schools. And when I watched the documentary, it was quite clear to me that Bob Lazar is an educated man. This guy is not a dummy, and he doesn't appear to be a liar. He does not set off any sort of red flags in my mind. He appears to be a genuine sort of like science nerd engineer. So I want to believe him on that. But like, there's so many questions that get raised from that idea. And it's like, okay, so you went to school for 4 to 8 years, something like that. I don't know his full bio, but you know, you don't have one homework assignment, one book, one professor you remember. I mean, that you would think that would be a simple thing to prove. I mean, where's the diploma? And there's a whole slew of Bob Lazar stuff and investigative reporting that George Knapp did. And self-admittedly, I haven't seen it all because I'm not real familiar with him. He was a bit before my time, but the documentary doesn't really give you a clear answer on that. But it did raise a lot of questions. And so if he didn't go to school there, he went to school somewhere. He's a smart guy. And if he did, in fact, go to MIT or Caltech, why would his records be erased? They were able to prove that he did, in fact, work at Los Alamos National Lab through a phone book that had his name on it. Meanwhile, Los Alamos claims he never worked there. There's a lot of things that just do not add up, and it feels very cover-up-ish. Like, there were some forces trying to, prevent his story from being too genuine or authentic. I mean, you can go back and forth on this thing all night long, but the idea here is that Bob Lazar is worth taking a look at. The documentary is pretty good, but let's get back to this alien thing. Let's wrap this up. I feel like the pro-alien side of the argument is also a non-spiritual side of the argument. I feel like they want to confirm that humans are just these insignificant things on a floating rock, a bit of nihilism, as we saw from American Horror Story. And you hear a lot of this kind of language from the scientific community. They say things just like this. Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson, even in the documentary, Bob Lazar's documentary, old Mickey Rourke himself says something at the beginning where, how insignificant the human beings are. And Earth is just one of these many planets full of life, but with no special meaning or purpose. And I disagree with all of that, because it's not only the simplest answer, it's the only thing with any sort of evidence until we see aliens come down. But I don't disagree that aliens exist. I just think they exist in another dimension, another reality, an alternate reality. They are quite possibly demonic in nature. They're fallen angels. And who knows, maybe there's good aliens and bad aliens. There's a lot of different things we could take from this. But to me, I feel like until there's actual evidence out there that makes any sense or is non-biased, I'm sticking with the theory that the aliens are nothing to be messed with, that we should not be trying to make contact. I believe we should try to preserve our Earth. I don't want to terraform and move to Mars. I don't think there's a better world out there. And that takes us to some recent news with NASA. They were, of course, trying to find extraterrestrial life out there. And they haven't been able to do that, of course, yet. But the NASA, one of the chief scientists, said by 2025, they will, in fact, prove that aliens exist. So now they're hunting for it, right? But one scientist from NASA believes that we might have already been visited here on Earth. Again, this is a little bit of ancient aliens talk, which ancient aliens, of course, ties into panpsychism, the whole idea of this collective unconscious realm that Konstantin Soikoski talked about, because he was like the OG of ancient alien theories, as you could read about in The Dark Path. Available on Amazon and Audible. I did a lot of research for that book. It was half alien talk. It was my goal, because I think that's a big component here, obviously. So reading from Fox News, says in a new research paper, Silvano Colombano, that's his name, or her name? I don't want to assume genders here. Silvano Colombano, who in addition to being a computer scientist at NASA Ames Research Center, is also a professor, theorizes that intelligent life may not be what we are used to and may not necessarily use the traditional building blocks of that humanity is accustomed to, such as carbon. Quote, I simply want to point out the fact that the intelligence we might find and that might choose to find us, if it hasn't already, might not be at all produced by carbon-based organisms like us. Further in, quote, our typical lifespans would no longer be a limitation, although even these could be dealt with multi-generational missions or suspended animation, and the size of the explorer might be that of an extremely tiny, super-intelligent entity. You know, and he or she suggests that the aliens might have figured out the technology that we don't even get yet, like, you know, time travel, interstellar travel. And he says, he or she says, oh, it is a he. Got it. Confirmed. Quote, if we adopt a new set of assumptions about what forms of higher intelligence and technology we might find, some of those phenomena might fit specific hypotheses and we could start some serious inquiry. And then here we go. Here's the part that we want to get to. Quote, considering further that technological development in our civilization started only about 10,000 years ago and has seen the rise of scientific methodologies only in the past 500 years, we can surmise that we might have a real problem in predicting technological evolution even for the next 1,000 years, let alone 6 million times that amount. So again, it's this theory that if you were to go back in time, if something had a head, if another civilization had a head start on us by 1 million years or 6 million years, like he suggests, that they would be evolved so much further that if we confronted these aliens, if we found them or proved that something else was out there that had intelligence, we might not even be able to understand what it is they're doing or thinking or saying. This is, again, you got to look at Arthur C. Clarke's books, 3001 Space Odyssey, the sequel, the, you know, fourth sequel or whatever it was to 2001. The alien beings, the higher consciousness, they were digital forms traversing the universe. They were beings of light, no longer limited by the human body, which again draws me back to the religious element here, and that is this idea that God created us. We have this inferior life form, this body, and they believe that God just wants us to worship him and be slaves to him, which isn't really the truth, and that we need to evolve into something better. We need to take the cue from Prometheus, from the serpent, and we so desperately need the aliens, these demons, to tell us how to make that happen. You see this conversation on American Horror Story with the nihilism elements. You see it with the simulation theories, the ideas that we could, you know, Descartes and them were talking about the evil genius, that, you know, like you see in the Matrix, right? We could be, in fact, living in an artificial world unaware that we no longer exist in a physical form. We are brains in a vat plugged into sensory inputs. Now, there is an idea in philosophy about this And again, I've talked about this in the past, the idea of the smell test, right? Like, anything's possible. You could defend anything on the planet, anything you want. You could defend that we are, in fact, living in a simulation, which is what Elon Musk was alleging, which is very curious. Some people think he's a time traveler, maybe. But in the I took a couple philosophy courses in college, and the idea to counteract the simulation theory concept is that when you've got a couple of choices, because you wouldn't know, right? You wouldn't know if you're in the simulation or not. Just because something is possible, that does not mean it is probable. What's more likely? Is it more likely that we're living a life that we know it, or that we're stuck in a computer simulation? To me, it feels pretty real. So there you have it. That is the talk about alien. It's a deep subject, and you can get real philosophical real quick. But I wanted to give you a couple examples of, you know, between Bob Lazar and American Horror Story and NASA's revelations, or whatever you want to call that. Because NASA, of course, is just pursuing Jack Parsons' legacy, which we talked about, Jack Parsons with the Marjorie Cameron thing, right? They're just pursuing Jack Parsons' desires, which come from Wernher von Braun's desires, which all come from science fiction, which all come from Konstantin Tsiolkovsky. It's the same thing over and over and over, and that is what makes me not believe it. So I want to know what you think about all this. Leave a review. Tell me your opinions. What do you think? Are we living in a simulation? Are aliens real? Are aliens our friends? Are aliens demonic deceptions, fallen angels, the Nephilim that the Bible tells us about? I certainly don't know the answer. I'm just throwing out my belief. So I want to hear yours. Hit me up on the socials if that's your preferred method. You know where I'm at. For now. I might unplug from the social media someday. I'd like to. You know what we're doing? We're just fueling artificial intelligence. We're fueling Google and Facebook. And these bastards just sell all the information to, you know, I don't know, 23andMe, Ancestry. They want to build clones of us. There's some crazy stuff that's going to happen in the next 20 years. I assure you of that. Google wants to transfer consciousness. Ray Kurzweil, he's the director of Google Engineering. He wants to bring his dead father back to life and put us all in this digital matrix hell. Anyways, let me know what you think. You know, iTunes, you can leave a review. Hit me on the socials, at Isaac Weishaupt on Instagram, at Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes on Twitter. Yeah. Don't mess with me on Facebook. I don't check it. And of course, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for my free email newsletter. That's the only way we can stay in touch, because they're going to shut this down someday, I assure you. All right. As always, be your best for those who deserve your best.